This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 30th, 2012, episode 520. Good morning, Horse World. Well, as you know, we are now live Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays here at Horses in the Morning, and we'll be back tomorrow morning live with our special Breeders' Cup episode. We'll have some guests on, and we'll make our picks for the Breeders' Cup. We'll be doing all of that tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. And then on Friday, Jennifer and I will be coming to you live from Wright Lead Equestrian Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We're doing a little trip this weekend out to Cajun country, and we'll be providing you a whole bunch of Louisiana guests on the show on Friday morning. So you can look forward to that. That'll be coming up on Friday. No really bad ads this week because we will be on the road doing a live remote. So lots of fun things coming up for you over the next couple of weeks. Well, today we have for you the Stable Scoop Radio Show, episode number 219, called Two Real Winners. We had the opportunity to speak with somebody that's been on the Horses in the Morning show here a couple of times, Katie Murphy. Remember, we were following her and her boyfriend, Roger, through their engagement and their marriage and sort of talking to him about that every step of the way. Well, she won the USCA Spalding Labs Young Event Horse East Coast Championship with her horse, Garth, over the weekend, and we had a chance to speak with her about that. Plus, we had Dr. Rachel Zent on to take a look at the life of Paralympian Jonathan Wentz. So all of that is coming up here on the Stable Scoop Radio Show, brought to you on Horses in the Morning. Well, as I said, we'll be back live tomorrow morning with the Breeders' Cup. Join us tomorrow. Talk to you then. I'm Glenn the Geek.
And I'm Helena B., and you're listening to the Stable Scoop Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
Welcome back, Helena. We missed you last week.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be back.
Well, you sound good. You sound all like you're all fired up today.
I'm all fired up. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to tackle life.
And how's the pony?
The pony's wonderful. He's my new main man.
Good. And have you had much time to ride him?
Gosh, not as much as I would like because it's been a very busy October. But yeah, I get on him at least three times a week, sometimes four.
Half our audience is praying that they would get to do that much.
I know. But he's so good that I would love to do it more than that. But sometimes he'll sit, though, for like 4 or 5 days at a time. And then I'll ride him 3 or 4 days in a row. And he's great no matter what you do.
Isn't it nice to just have a horse that you can get on and just go? And you don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to, you know, contemplate over whether you're going to die that day.
No, he's really, this is exactly what I needed. It's so funny. I want Wendy Ying to meet him because I want her to tell me what element he is because he's the perfect element for my fire sign. We need to have Wendy back on because we need to talk about elements and signs and fire and water and all that. Because I've been sort of looking into this lately, like really pondering this. And I think we need her sage advice.
All right. Well, we'll do that. We'll get her back one of these days. She's been kind of busy, too. She wasn't on the show this week on the driving radio show. She has a special project she's working on that she can't tell anybody about. Well, we can find out at the beginning of the year, I guess.
The beginning of 2013?
Yeah, I think it's going to be that long till we can find out what the secret project is. But apparently it's pretty exciting.
That's cool. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
My ADD kicking in. I just said 2013. Do you say 2000 or do you say 20?
I say 2000.
Why is that? Is it because we're older?
I don't know. So I do hear people say 2012. And every time I go, I don't say it that way.
I don't either. But it's so long to say 2013.
I know. But
like when you're buying something online or you're talking to somebody on the phone, you have to give me your credit card number.
And you know, the older we get, we should be saying 2012 because we don't have as much time. We need to get done quicker.
2012. But I mean, when it was like 1995, we never said 1995.
That's true. That is
so
true.
So why do we say 2000? I mean, I think maybe
God, your ADD is bad today.
Sorry.
You're making me look normal.
Just wait. Oh, just wait. It's going to get worse before it gets better, I have a feeling.
Well, on today's show, we have a couple of winners, as the title says. We have Katie Murphy with us, and she is a listener of a lot of the shows on the Horse Radio Network. She's been on Horses in the Morning with us before, but we followed her because of her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was wrote an article about being a new horse boyfriend. Well, since then, over the last year, they've gotten married, and she's won a little championship, and that is the Spalding Labs Young Event Horse East Coast Championships in the 4-year-old division with her amazing horse Garth.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Back up. Say that again, but slowly.
She won the USEA Spalding Labs Young Event Horse East Coast Championships in the 4-year-old division. This is eventing we're talking about.
Yeah, here. I know. Yeah, but you said that so fast.
I know. And she, her horse's name is Garth, and she's going to tell us all about Garth, and we're going to get to congratulate her today. She's a young rider that we, as I said, we started following a while back, and we really like her prospects for going big time. She's part of Murphy Eventing. And she has a really cool husband now, too. And then we also have Rachel Zent on to speak in a little more serious tone here about Jonathan Wentz, who we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. Jonathan was one of our Paralympians this year in London who passed away not too long ago. Well, Rachel wanted the opportunity. She wrote me a note, and she wanted the opportunity to come on and pay a tribute to Jonathan because they knew him very well because Rachel's husband was Jonathan's trainer for 4 years. So she dropped me this note, and I said, I would love to do that. I met Jonathan. I knew Jonathan as well. So we would love to share in some of the memories of Jonathan and what he contributed to the United States equestrian team and the Paraside. Okay. So we're going to have her on. She's actually a doctor as well.
God.
Yeah, she's a doctor.
Eventers, you know?
I know. I know. And her husband is a very, very well-known dressage trainer. So he's trained many champions and they're out of Texas. So we're going to have her on to talk about that. And then I have a review of a product we talked about a month or two ago that we've been using, and we're going to give you an update on whether it actually works or not. So that's all coming up. And that is the Fly Armor product. You guys are starting to get rid of your flies. You don't have that problem anymore. Our flies are actually worse now than they have been all summer. So.
Oh, no. Our flies are getting worse because it's still really warm here.
Oh,
we're
really?
Still in the mid to high 60s. Yeah.
So
we're, and they're, and now they're in the house. You know how they make that last ditch effort?
Yes.
To and then, eat everything.
And they go slower and they're pain because they don't move.
No. But I'm getting really good with a damp dishcloth. I can get one of those things like midair. My daughter laughs at me. She's like, Mom, damn, you're good.
We had an employee that worked for us, and she was the sweetest girl. We loved her to death. But she would not kill anything. She was one of the people that wouldn't swat a fly, nothing. She would catch them and put them outside. And we tried to convince her, you know, with the flies, you can probably make an exception because there's a lot of them. We're not going to run out anytime soon. She just
yeah, okay, so culling the herd. Sort
yes.
Of.
I mean, and she just couldn't do it. She was not a...
Even a fly?
Not a fly, not a spider, nothing. She would catch spiders.
I feel bad about spiders. I guess, isn't that funny how we selectively feel... I mean, someone like this girl, I kind of look up to because she's just
she's
compassionate
pure
across
in her,
the board.
That's
yeah.
right, yep.
But why do we associate with certain insects? And it's usually insects because most of us are very compassionate towards mammals. You know, even some reptiles. I know there are people who hate snakes and all that stuff. But for the most part, you don't hear anybody saying, oh, I got to just kill that turtle because it's freaking me out. Or, you know, I backed up over a snake today on purpose. But
I'm not a big fan of snakes. As long as they stay away from me, I'm happy.
Yeah, but it's not like you go out and you have to kill. If you see one, you don't have to kill it.
No,
but,
I pretty much run in the house and wait for it to leave.
run in the house.
That's screaming. That's
screaming.
My solution to the problem. Well, let's get to our first guest. We have coming up here Katie Murphy of Murphy Eventing, and we're going to get to congratulate her about her win and her amazing horse, Garth. Well, hi, Katie, and welcome to the Stable Scoop Show.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you on. Now, of course, you've been a listener, and you've been a regular on some of our other shows, too, as a guest. And we followed you all the way through your engagement and now your marriage. And then there's this horse. Tell us how you came to find Garth.
Well, Garth, his real name is Escord RGS, but I call him Garth or Baby G.
I love him.
He's incredibly sweet. I actually originally saw Garth about, more than 2 years ago. And it was when I was looking for my next prospect, and I was introduced to Pagebrook Farms, which are his breeders, out of Hollis, New Hampshire. And I was looking at him and a horse that was a year younger, who's named Ensign on Deck, RGS, and that is my current three-year-old, Emmett. Now, I was able to purchase Emmett, but at the time not able to afford Garth. So I chose Emmett because of that, and he's been just a super fun horse to have. Just about a year ago, I sold City, our first glance, who I attempted intermediate with, but it wasn't the right match for him and his skill set, and sold him to Pagebrook Farm, their daughter, as a jumper prospect. And that, fortunately, gave me the funds to be able to then purchase Garth. And I looked at him and their two other three-year-olds, and something just clicked with Garth when I was on him, and he was trained to do very basic walk trot at the time, and just fell in love with him and felt something really special when I tried him last fall.
What breeding is he?
He's a registered Hanoverian. He has some Holsteiner a few generations back, and there's quite a bit of thoroughbred influence there.
I was going to say, don't you think he looks thoroughbred-y, Helena?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, he's a much leaner build, and his sire is Escudo One, which is a big jumper line, and his dam is Arabella, and she is by Accord Two, another big jumper stallion, but also has the Wendelin line and Marconi line further back, and the Wendelin offers fantastic dressage movement, which he's inherited.
How soon in his life with you can you start to see his breeding background come out in the way he moves or his trainability? Does that show up pretty clearly?
I think it's dependent on horse to horse and how they mature and how long it may take the horse to mature. For Garth, I felt the power in his trot like right away. And I really strongly believe that is the Wendelin influence from his dam side. Last fall, I did not canter him because he had so much power at the canter. I felt he needed more strength and better balance, and I did that through a lot of hill work and ground pulls at the walk and trot. And then this spring, I found that his canter was really starting to develop, and that's when I felt there was a lot of power there, hopefully for the dressage and the jumping and also the gallop. And the jumping lineage did not really show up until later this fall when he was starting to be a bit more challenged with questions outside of the gymnastic lines we've been doing. And I take a much slower approach to them when they're young because of their joint health and making sure that it's fun and to keep them entertained throughout everything. So it takes a little while, at least from my approach.
What all of that means, Helena, is that Katie developed some serious guns. She developed some serious muscles with this horse.
it's interesting because because she starts very slow, when you do introduce something new to him, it's very clear to you what is nature versus nurture, because you're introducing a completely new exercise or question to him. How he responds initially, it tells you a lot about his nature versus what he's been trained to do, because essentially he's not been trained to do that yet.
But no, exactly. And for him, with his big, he has such a strong, powerful canter stride. He has a really long canter stride. So what I started to do immediately this spring, when he started working under saddle at the canter and he had developed that strength and balance, was a lot of ground pull work and very small gymnastic lines with slightly short distances. And that helps to precede the necessity for adjustability, particularly on our cross-country courses in eventing now, to help teach him that. But you know, he naturally has always had a nice scope in his jump, but I've never been one to throw a youngster over a really big fence, because I'd much rather them learn correctly and grow in strength and confidence, and then hopefully they may exceed what they could have done at that time, but exceed later on when they have some, you know, better foundation and fundamentals within their education.
You know, I just love you.
You know, how long?
There's so much hope. I have so much hope for the potential of your horses because you think it's such common sense, and yet this very structured, compassionate approach is really so rare.
Well, I live a bit of a double-edged sword in that I have a full-time job or nearly full-time, but I work in an office for my primary occupation, and that enables me to have a stable income. So in that sense, I always have the finances coming in that allow me to have the horses so I can choose to take my time.
Yeah.
You know, some professionals are under the gun, be it through clients or needing to sell a prospect in order to maintain their lifestyle and their business. But sometimes I think there is quite a bit of pressure to move them on faster.
Not to mention she has this good-looking husband now. So, I mean...
I think that's a really, 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 really important point because, really, I think most trainers start out with the best intentions and they want to do what's best for the horses. And they understand that if you push too hard, it can have a negative effect on their joint health and their mental health. But when it comes down to that bottom line of dollar versus horse's well-being, sometimes the choice is actually taken away from us because our livelihood depends on it. So I think that's a really good point. Probably, Glenn, a good one for a roundtable discussion. How do we get around the question of dollars versus
Yeah, that would be, yeah.
You plant a money tree.
That's right. You marry well.
Seeds,
that's
what. Will ya?
I know.
Hey, you wrote in one of your Facebook posts, and I haven't been able to find it. I know I read it that you wrote it about this weekend or on your blog about how you feel now that you two are truly becoming a partnership. How long have you had the horse, and at what point did you turn the corner and start to feel that way?
Well, I got him early last fall, and I think the turn in our dynamic together is something that's really growing and starting to challenge each other but also complement each other. I felt it earlier this fall, and it was when Garth started to become a bit cocky to the fences, which is fantastic because he has so much confidence out there in cross country. But at the same point, he also is feeling so good about himself. I think he tries to send me the message of, yep, just sit there. Just sit back and look pretty. I've got this. But we still also have to maintain that dynamic of communication. So I think we're certainly growing together, but continuing to challenge each other in really positive ways. And I think as he continues to move up the levels next year, he'll move up to training level with hopefully a move up to prelim at the end of the season to cap off 2013. I think at that time that will be ironed out a bit more. And, you know, I'm so thrilled that his confidence has been built in such a positive manner that he can feel really confident. But, you know, I'm also right there to support him, but also to maintain our safety and education and growth.
Okay, now I'll ask you the follow-up question. Which is harder? She knows what's coming too. Which is harder? Is it harder to develop that kind of partnership with a guy or a horse?
You mean a man, not a guy horse.
No. I meant like, you know, like you just did with your husband. Is it harder to develop that kind of relationship where it truly becomes a partnership with a guy or with your horse?
I think with a guy.
What I think Helena would probably agree with that.
Yeah, you know, horses, there seems...
Yeah.
I think with horses, there comes a point where
Jennifer
you have to, in essence, really hand over the reins to them and have a real equilibrium. And I think our inability to use language as a form of communication and the misinterpretations of that,
yeah,
or perhaps the misuses of verbal language, I think not being able to apply that to a relationship with an animal allows a truer sense of a partnership and a truer sense of our communication, because clearly there's going to be a reaction to every action. And it's usually pretty blunt.
So what you're in fact saying is that in the relationship with a guy, with a human, you should be able to use spurs and whips and everything would be fine.
Well, that could be a benefit to some relationships. Not all. No. Probably not mine, no. Roger.
Sorry, I didn't mean
this. Myself and my cheeks are red.
All right, let's get back to business here. This past weekend, you took Garth, who you now have developed a partnership with. And by the way, Garth is absolutely beautiful. Is he dark bay or is he black or is he almost black dark bay or what?
Well, technically, he's dark bay. Yeah, so he's very dark. And I have always been a sucker for a dark bay.
Yeah, and you know, he does look, in pictures, he looks black because he's so dark. Now, and he's absolutely stunning. I don't see any white, maybe around the one back foot, huh?
Yes, and he has just a few little hairs speckled in his face, but it's hard to see them in photographs. You have to be up close.
Yeah, and he's very thoroughbred looking. Very
that lock area.
And of course, you know, with eventers now, they are getting away from the heavy warm bloods and going back to the more thoroughbred-y types, and thoroughbreds for that matter. And they are becoming much more. There's this cycle to everything, and that's starting to cycle back that way. Now, this weekend, you had the opportunity to take him to the USEA Spalding Labs Young Event Horse East Coast Championships at Fair Hill, correct?
That's a quite a mouthful, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yes. He did a qualification trial and qualified first time during the first attempt this June at GMHA up in Vermont. And was just super, and then continued on with his season at Novice. He only did 7 events this year, and I formulated that so it averaged about an event every month, so I wouldn't overstress him or, you know, overstress his growth and his joints and such. But yeah, we went down to Fair Hill and had a fantastic time, and he handled that big environment so beautifully. I couldn't be more proud of him. He was just a star through and through.
And Fair Hill, for those that don't know, is a big event. It's a 3-star event for eventers. And also, does it still have the dog competition there at the same time?
They do. And I was so hoping we could enter one of our dogs. Roger and I now have 3 dogs. And you know, the puppy trio, as we call them, I was hoping to do something with them, but we didn't make it to that area of the grounds in time.
It is a fun show. First of all, have you ever been to Fair Hill, Helena?
Yes, but not to the Fair Hill event. I've been through it.
It's huge. I mean, it's a huge, huge thousands of acres. It's a state park, and it is absolutely perfect for eventing. And then they have the event, which always has bad weather, and we'll have to talk about that. But, you know, every year, it's pouring down rain. But they also combine it with a dog show, and it's more like a fair or a festival. It's just fun.
Yeah, and they also had a mule jumping contest.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's something I would do. I'd be into that, mule jumping.
Yeah, this one mule was incredible. Like he won the record every time. I think he went to like 3'6" or 4 foot. I mean, something pretty impressive.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
They always do try and do something fun at that show. So how did you do? Was it a full, for the youngsters like this, is it a full event? You did dressage and then cross country and stadium?
Well, they're judged on 4 components. You do a dressage test, which is a modified dressage test compared to the horse trial test. So the horse trial, the events that I've been to, I do not do those dressage tests for the YEH. It's a shorter test meant to really gauge the quality of movement versus the execution of the movement. So you can be a little inaccurate with your serpentine or your circle, and they will not discount you on that. So it's all about showing really big, powerful, floaty movements, lots of engagement and suppleness as you go around through the track. And then there's the confirmation test where you stand your horse up and they judge the horse for suitability as an upper level eventer and soundness, long-term soundness for the horse in the sport of eventing. And they often have you hand walk them and trot them in hand for judgment of the gait as well. And then the jumping test usually integrates partially a stadium course in the beginning, and then you canter on into a cross-country course. And it's condensed. It's not the length of a traditional stadium and cross-country course, so they're not overstressing the horses, but you go through the course over the fences, and usually after the last fence, you then do a gallop stretch. So the horse is judged on the quality of their gallop, and over fences, they're judged on their balance, quality of jump to the fence, the recovery from the fence, how they canter off, you know, all of those elements that will hopefully reflect a quality upper level eventing prospect.
Well, and just get to the bottom line, because we're running out of time here. You won in the 4-year-old division. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Thank you. Yes, he won the championship from the start. I was so excited for him.
Well, this is terrific. We are so excited for you. You know, we feel like we've known you for quite a while now, and Roger, of course. And, you know, I can imagine what Roger was like. He was probably just thrilled. So, congratulations. We are so excited for you. You can find out more about, and you can follow Katie's progress into, we'll see her at Rolex in the next couple of years. You can find her at murphyeventing.com. That's murphyeventing.com. You can see pictures of the pretty horse and everything else that's going on over there at the farm.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. And you also, I want to mention, go search for Murphy Eventing on Facebook as well. She has a Facebook page. You can follow her there. Thank you, Katie.
All right. Thank you all so much.
And right after this message by Stable Comfort by ProMat that Jennifer put together for us, we're going to be speaking to Dr. Rachel Zent about our Paralympian, Jonathan Wentz, who passed away just a couple of weeks ago.
Hey folks, Coach Jen here from the Horse Tip Daily Show. All of us as horsemen mull over our horses' nutrition and stress out over their stress level and fret about their fitness. But when is the last time you puzzled over your horse's lounging and sleeping comfort? Research has shown us over and over that quantity as well as quality of rest and sleep are crucial for top athletic performance as well as overall well-being. Enter Stable Comfort by ProMat. Astute horsemen everywhere have been trusting Stable Comfort by ProMat to provide unsurpassed comfort for their equine charges, as well as an efficient and economical stall flooring system that saves them both labor and bedding dollars. Still not sure? Well, here's what one of Stable Comfort by ProMat's customers has to say. When I built my first custom stables slightly more than 8 years ago, one of my greatest concerns was the stall mat selection. Frankly, I would rather have no stall mats than mats that constantly shift, tripping horses and requiring extra shavings to hide the problems in an attempt to make horses comfortable. And most of all, I dreaded the burden of having to move heavy mats and repack stall foundations. Mission accomplished, thanks to ProMat for delivering an excellent product. The horses love it because it is comfortable. I love it because it looks perfect, even after 8 years. We bed the stalls only as needed and use far less shavings than I ever could have had imagined. And it takes less time to clean the stalls when using less bedding. And that's from Ann Dewarge of Little Rock, Arkansas. But the accolades don't stop there. Head on over to StableComfort.com and find out why champions like Nick Skelton, Mary King, and Chris Cox use Stable Comfort by ProMat systems for their equine athletes.
Well, hello, Dr. Zent, and thank you for joining us here on the Stable Scoop Radio Show.
You're welcome. I'm delighted to be able to be a part of the show.
You know, I know you're a listener of our various shows, and I appreciated you dropping us a note. And you know, I wish that we were having you on for a happier topic, but it's a topic that we both felt that we really wanted to talk about, and that is the life of one of your husband's students.
Yes, that is Jonathan Wentz.
Jonathan Wentz was a Paralympian, as I mentioned in our intro. I got to meet him at the WEG and in our run-up to the World Equestrian Games doing that show. And, you know, I know that one of the things he really, really, really lived for and was a goal in his life was making the Olympics, which he did. Tell us, you know, what was he like? You guys, I mean, your husband trained him, right?
Correct. He came to our barn in 2008 and had been pursuing equestrian events through physical therapy and then in his own pursuit of a competitive career, and he came to our barn in 2008.
What was his? What was his?
That he wanted to go to the Olympics someday.
What was his? He had what?
He had cerebral palsy.
Right. Okay.
And so he had a lot of spasticity and more on one side of his body than the other. So, essentially, as far as being able to use his limbs, he was essentially able to use one of his arms and one of his legs close to normal, but the other side not really. It was very spastic.
And what kind of training does your husband do?
My husband trains in all the Olympic events. He's originally from Germany, and he's had a barn here north of Dallas in Wiley, Texas, for about the last 25 years. It's a 100 barn stable, and we import and train warm bloods and resell and have a lot of students who pursue careers in eventing and dressage and jumping.
So this is no joke. This is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. but as my husband said, when Jonathan first came, he had no idea what to do with a para equestrian. He said, now I don't know what to do without one.
Oh, how long ago was it that that you all first met?
We met him through the show circuit earlier in 2008, and then he came to us in the fall of 2008 and said that he wanted to train with Guy and learn from him. And as I said, he told him that he wanted to go to the Olympics, to which my husband said, well, me too.
I think did he beat your husband?
He did beat my husband. But, yeah, and starting in 2008, we matched him with several different horses and eventually found him his partner that was his horse at both the World Equestrian Games and the London Olympics.
And that was Richter scale, right?
NTEC Richter scale, correct.
Yeah.
He's a draft cross of unclear and debatable breeding that at some point someone had made into a Grand Prix school master who was hanging out in a pasture when we found him.
He kind of looks like, and I met him in person, and he kind of looks like, you're right, he kind of looks like he's a Heinz 57 of something.
Yeah,
but what a sweetheart.
Probably a Shire thoroughbred, but yeah, no one knows.
What a sweetheart.
Yeah,
you know?
He's a wonderful horse, and you know, my husband is owned and been around a lot of horses in his lifetime and ranks him in the top two horses that he's ever been around and met, just as far as having a great temperament, personality, and super willing to do everything you want him to do.
So Jonathan worked all of these years to get to the Olympics. He went to the World Equestrian Games, and then, you know, his real goal really was the Olympics, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and that was the ultimate thing. When he looked at his website, what the final goal was the 2012 Olympic Games, and in his campaign and his fundraising, his slogan was one horse, one boy, one horse, one dream. And so in the end, he did accomplish that one dream.
Was he having any issues in London, or was this a kind of a surprise thing?
It was a complete surprise. He seemed to be at the top of his physical condition, and he was doing excellent in school, and we had no sooner left London than he was making plans for Normandy and what he was going to be doing next. He was also a triple major in his undergrad and a very, very bright and respected young man who had aspirations in his career to go as far as becoming Speaker of the House someday.
Yeah, he really was into politics, wasn't he?
Yeah, very, 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 very bright.
And you know, when you think about that, Helena, you know, a triple major in college, still having a dream of riding horses enough to get to the Olympics at the same time.
Yeah.
From what I read, he was very good in school, too.
Oh, he was excellent in school. Yeah, I mean, I am almost certain he never got anything below a 4.0, and that was with a triple major, and he was at the barn almost every single day riding.
And then he passed away shortly after the Olympics, and you know, any time this happens, it's a surprise, but it really was a surprise to his family because he was doing so well.
Yeah, he had been at the barn on Friday, riding just like normal, and Saturday he'd been at a football game with some friends and had been studying, and then I was with my husband Sunday evening when his mother had called and left a message first on his phone, then my phone, because he didn't answer, and I listened to it, and I knew something was wrong right away and told him to call her.
And, you know, how is the family doing?
I mean, they're a wonderful family, and they have very strong faith. So I think they're doing as well as can be expected. And we actually spent some time with his extended family before the memorial service. And as one person put it, that Jonathan had accomplished so much in his 21 years that it was just time for him to go. Because, honestly, he did more with his life than most people will do in 90 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had met his mother, Tina, at some point, too, along the way. Well, we certainly, if there's one thing, we'll wrap with this. If there's one thing you could, that you want the world to know about Jonathan Wentz, what is it?
Well, actually, I asked his mother what she thought Jonathan would want the world to know.
Okay.
And so she said that he'd want to emphasize that he and para-equestrians are true Olympics that just happen to have a physical disability, that they're serious about training and competition and they want to be taken seriously. They don't want any sympathy, no favoritism. They just want to be parallel to able-bodied athletes. And he wanted his sport to be viewed in those terms by everybody. Mm. And his other message was that if you have a dream, to go for your dream and don't let anything stand in your way, that if one avenue closes, just keep looking until another one opens and always be willing to work hard. And she also wanted to say that to let everyone know that he was really happy and planning for his future.
Thank you, Dr. Zent.
You're welcome.
Well, we're not going to do an official Tack and Habit segment this week, but we do have, because you know why? Because we're going to be talking a lot about products in the weeks to come, because guess what's coming up?
Christmas?
Yes, it is.
Believe
it or not, it is 9 weeks away. Anyway, we're going to have more, some Tack and Habit segments coming up that are highlighting the gift possibilities for this year. But first, we want to do, before we wrap up today's show, I want to do a review of a product we talked about several weeks ago, and that was the product called Fly Armor. And if you remember right, that is the product that works a lot like citronella candles do in a way, in that you put this Fly Armor goopy stuff, this sort of, they give you this, they give you a holder, and you put this Fly Armor stuff, the gel stuff, in the holder, and you put it on the halter, or on it, you weave it into the mane or the tail of the horse, and what it does is it emits an aura and keeps the bugs away from your horse.
Wait, but you, like, you gloop it on the
No,
holder?
It goes in this holder, and it's this, I don't know how to describe it.
Does it hook onto your holder? Is
yes,
it, like a
it hooks onto your holder? Halter with Velcro. Yes.
Okay, oh, fine. I'm
okay,
good.
And inside of there is this goop, okay, this Fly Armor goop. And it smells like citronella. When you walk up to your horse, he smells like a citronella candle.
Well, you know what? If it's goop, it has to work, so let's see.
Well, that's right. And I'm sure he would love me calling it goop, the guy
who
runs
this
company.
If it's goop that works, I don't think he'll care. So let's see, did it work?
Yes, it amazingly works. Beaker would get, especially here in Florida, we had a lot of mosquitoes this year because it was so wet, and he would get mosquito bites all night long or fly bites, and he would be welted all day. So what Jennifer did is we keep a neck strapper on him to catch him in things. We just keep a neck strap on him, not a full halter when he's turned out. So she put this on the neck strap, and within 3 days, she noticed that the number of welts had gone down. In the morning, and now after about a week, he hardly had any at all, like no bites at all.
Wow! This and you stuff, still have mosquitoes out.
Yes, we still have skis, and now we have the biting flies, and it's keeping those away too. I got to tell you, she said she gives it an A because she said it just really works. And
okay, so for scoopers here, well, you can't really call you scoopers if you hear the next part of this. For anybody who doesn't know Jennifer does not give out A's.
No.
Easily. She doesn't. And when we review books, hardly anything ever gets five flakes. Like, she just does not give out A's. So, really, she's sure. It's definitely an A.
She's sure it's an A. She loves this. And she's obsessive. You replace that goop about once a week because it basically evaporates. It goes away.
Yeah.
And she's been obsessive about it because she likes it so much. Now, we did get him a fly sheet a while back, and she's only used that maybe once or twice.
Huh.
Otherwise, she's been keeping the goop on, and it works great.
Wow. Yeah. And it works all the way, like, back to his bum and stuff?
Yeah.
What about, like, his sheath
you
area?
Can smell it coming up to him about 10 feet away.
Oh, so he's kind of like Pigpen, only citronella instead.
It's citronella. Now, I don't know whether he likes it, and if he's embarrassed, you know, the other horses see him in the neighborhood. He's like, oh, God, I'm sorry. I don't know if he's like that, but we like it, so... And it's not an offensive smell. Citronella smells fine, you know?
No, I mean, sometimes if it's too strong, then you kind of get, it gives you a headache a little bit. But as long as it's not making him all googie-eyed.
No, he's his normal self. So we like it. Fly Armor. I think it's flyarmor.com, isn't it?
Flyarmor.com. All right, I'm going to have to get some.
Yep.
And so it's all biting insects. It's flies and skeeters and stuff like that.
Yes. And now if they're moving, like, it does not help when you're riding, because what has to happen is they have to be standing, like when they're eating in the pasture, when they're eating hay, they're standing still. And that has time for the aura to surround him. I call it the aura. The aura of the citronella to surround him. Right. When you're riding, you don't have time for it to surround him. So
So what about if it's windy?
If it's windy, it's probably not going to work as well. That's a good point. Now, we haven't had a whole lot of wind, so I don't know. But
what? You have hurricanes.
Yeah, but that's the only time we have wind.
But you know what? If it's that windy, then the bugs usually aren't a real big problem that day. Yeah.
That's right. You're
right. If it's windy enough, right.
Yeah. So that's our report.
Flyarmor. Okay. We'll have to try some.
Yep. And that's it for this week. We're going to be back again next week with more great stuff. We're hoping, keep your fingers crossed, that we're going to have a guy who works in the movies with the horses on to talk to us about how all of that works behind the scenes. We're trying to get him. We had to go through 50 steps to get this guy as a guest, and including permission from the movie companies and the whole thing. So we're hoping that we actually get him on the phone. And he's from England, so we'll see if we can...
He's from England? So will he be... We'll be calling him in England, or is he here in the U.S.?
No, we'll have to be calling him in England.
He's in England.
Yep,
he's
we're hoping.
Just from there.
Keep your fingers crossed. It's not a guarantee. When you're dealing with as many layers as we're dealing with to get this done, you would think we were talking to Eddie Murphy.
Oh, I know. Movie people think they're all that in a bag of chips.
We tried.
And there's very few that are.
We tried to get... I wanted to tell you this. Do you watch Big Bang Theory?
I've seen it, but I'm not
the neighbor girl.
Yeah.
Whose name is Callie, in real life, is a horse girl, a serious horse girl. She rides every day. And we tried to get her, but we got rejected in about 15 different ways. So,
why would they reject? Like, what do they say? We're just not interested.
Yeah,
I'm
not interested. Thank you. And I don't think she's ever gotten the message. I don't think we've ever gotten through. If she heard that a horse place wanted to talk to her about horses and not TV, she'd be on in a minute. They all are. They love to talk about their horses.
I'm telling you but something.
We can't get through the layers.
My brother-in-law has an agent and she's just an ass. There's so many opportunities that it's like, when someone else picks and chooses your press for you, I don't know. I think that's kind of dangerous territory, especially when, I don't know, in these days, everything is about your personal brand. You know, have you heard that concept of personal branding?
Yep.
Okay. And so I think when you're an actor or you're an artist, your personal brand is really important to your career and not just your career, your social life. And so when you have an agent who is responsible in some ways for your personal brand, I think you kind of get into dangerous territory. She would probably, you're right, love to talk to a horse podcast about horses.
Exactly. Especially one as popular as ours. Jeez.
Yeah, we're the best. I would be spit mad. You know what we got to do? Now, because you told me we can't get her, I want to get her even more.
Yeah, maybe you can arrange it. Do you have to go through your brother-in-law's agent to talk to him?
Yeah. No, but I do have to go through my sister.
Now, he's a Broadway guy, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yes, he does primarily theater. He does a lot of commercials, too. He's got a really cute Verizon. There's a sort of popular Verizon Wireless, Comcast commercial that's out there that he got a lot of hits on.
Are we allowed to say his name? Give him a plug?
Yeah, his name is C.E. Smith. Yep. C.E. Smith stands for Charles Edward, I think. C.E. goes by C.E. And he just did... he just did some filming with Kevin Bacon's doing a new show, a new TV show.
Okay.
So he just filmed with Kevin Bacon for about a week. And,
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's neat.
But, you know, the thing is there's like my sister and I talk about this all the time. We're like, oh, look at this great opportunity and that great opportunity and this movie and that show. And I'm like, well, did his agent send him any information about it? And she'll say, no.
You know, we've known a couple other people who have been in the acting world, and they have had the same experience with agents. And you got to wonder, you know, the agent has their favorites, and they're probably dumping them off on somebody else, you know, and that's what's happening.
But it's like a long-term relationship, too, you know. It's like breaking up with your girlfriend. They don't want to break up with their girlfriends, with their agents.
That's true. That is true with the agents, too. And then the agents threaten you, and it's a cutthroat business. It's not pleasant in a lot of ways.
No, so we can understand how difficult it is.
But we don't need agents.
We don't need agents. We're Stable Scoop, man. We're the Horse Radio Network.
Who needs an agent?
Who's the most famous person we've had on the show, do you think? I know Gina Miles was big. I mean, we've got Philip Dutton. I mean, we have everybody, really, yeah, in the horse world. But what about outside names. The horse world?
Outside the horse world. I'd have to look at the list.
You know, Monty Roberts, probably.
I do so many shows, I can't remember. You know, you don't remember. When I look back at the list of guests we've had, I was like, oh, my God, we've had some serious guests on this show.
Well, we had that girl that did the movie. Remember about the gypsy cob?
Oh, yeah. You know what, though? When you look back at the list, and if you were going to pick out some of the guests that really stand out in your mind, it's not the big names, you know, all the time. It's sometimes like the bear wrangler girl was terrific.
She was awesome.
I mean, she's one of the ones that really sticks out in my mind, you know?
Tonk, right? Her first Tonk.
Yeah, how do you remember that? Jeez, we had to get a hold of her and get an update.
I know. How do you remember? I don't know. You know who we have to get on next? Have you seen the most recent Mustang Makeover, Extreme Mustang Makeover winner?
Yes. And
I'm gonna get them on.
Out of
Snuggly Horse.
Yes, out of South Carolina, North Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty far east for Mustang Makeovers because most of them are in the Midwest. Remember when we talked to them last?
Yep. Well, very good, Helena. We gotta wrap it up. So
no, we don't.
Yes, we do. We'll be back again next week, everybody.
Happy scooping.